Maybe it just convinces you that you had a good time when you really didn't.
I bit my brother in the leg. I must have had a good time.
Could recreate what that that viral video of the little kid biting the other little kid.
Charlie bit me.
Yeah.
It hurts real bad.
Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin, gamertag J-Devil. This is the episode for Wednesday, February 9th, 2011. Today we take a look back at some old school games that used to suck up all of our time. Joining me this evening, we've got Cole Monroe.
What's up?
Got Justin Gifford.
Hey guys.
We've got Christina Hall.
A.K.A. Tits McGee.
I thought that was Ethan's nickname. Ethan Moses.
Damn it. I was going to say Dick McGee, and you fucking totally ruined that for me.
You guys could be a family. could... It's okay.
I'll take big balls, McGee.
All right.
Nice. You do have big balls.
How do you know that? derailed already.
Nice. Well, we'll get back on track. First thing, we're going to dive into our threesomes of the week, where everybody's picked three pieces of media that have had their attention in the past week. Warm up the conversation with our on-the-spot question, then dive into our just 5 more minutes conversation, looking back at classic games that have taken up all of our time. Afterwards, we'll wrap things up with HorribleNight.com updates and game industry shoutouts. So let's get rolling with Coleman's threesomes. What were we up to last week?
Well, I'm going to derail the podcast again because I watched this movie called Punching the Clown, and apparently that is a euphemism for masturbating, and I was not aware of that. has nothing to do with the movie, though. It's a faux documentary about this comedian's life named Henry Phillips, and it's pretty funny. You should check it out. He's a folk singer comedian. He's similar to Stephen Lynch. It's pretty good. So it's like a 90-minute movie, so check it out.
I don't know who Stephen Lynch is.
He's on
He's what?
I'll bring some Stephen Lynch on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, he's pretty good. All right. I'm sure you've heard some of his songs actually. And since it's been a while, I haven't talked about wrestling, so I decided today is the day, and I started reading Mick Foley's book "Have a Nice Day," which came out like '99, and it's a really good book. It's pretty got some pretty funny stories in there. And
had you read it before?
Oh yeah, I read.
Okay,
it.
I was gonna say
I read it when it came out, and haven't read it. And
I remember you being excited about it at the time. So
yeah, and also I wanted to mention that apparently my dad is now a subscriber to Gamer Magazine from Best Buy.
On purpose?
I don't know if it's on purpose or not. It just showed up one day, and I was like, "Oh, you're trying to get on my territory, huh?" And, he had no idea what it was. And then very quickly, I've jumped back into Red Dead. Yeah, it's Red Dead. That's really all I'm going to say about it. It's awesome.
Oh yeah, you're playing on 360 now. I forgot about that. How those?
Yeah, I switched to 360 and getting the achievements, and I did have my first glitch. So that was entertaining.
Cougar lady?
No, Eagle it man? Was. I had caught up with a train and it was trying to chase a train, and all of a sudden there was this lady sitting on the train, but the train was no longer there. She was just sitting in midair. Until I shot her, and then she fell.
Good, it usually fixes it.
Yeah. That'll teach that bitch.
That's what I get for trying to lasso people and subdue them.
No, just shoot them.
As a good guy. That's every time it freezes when I try that. I'm just shoot them from now on.
I had trouble being a bad guy in that game for some reason. Like, I don't know. It was just, I felt compelled to, I don't know. It was like, they kind of define the John Marston character in a certain way, and I don't know, it felt like going against the character to me, I guess.
I agree.
It was weird. Unexpected. Gifford, your threesomes.
I watched Resident Evil Afterlife. I've really enjoyed the other ones in the series. I thought they were the best video game movies made. And then I watched Afterlife, and it was sort of like Super Mario 2 after Super Mario Brothers. It was full of a lot of weird Japanese shit and sort of disturbing tentacles, and no good. I can't recommend it.
I fell off the Resident Evil movie train with the second one. I liked the first one, but the second one just was unwatchable to me. But I heard Apocalypse was okay. It was at least entertaining as an action movie. But
then she got magic powers. That's what lost it for me for Apocalypse.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I was done after three.
I don't see many movies in the theater, but I actually saw every one of the Resident Evil movies in the theater. So I don't know if I should be proud of that or just,
What else you got?
Anyway, no good. I downloaded Slash's album, which is eponymous, which means self-titled. And it has a really great sort of cast of guest stars. And it's awesome. I mean, it's Slash. He's a great freaking lead guitarist. And
has some really great drums on it.
Yeah. So, amazing. Been listening to that a lot on the way to the pool in the morning.
Does it make you want to stand on a piano and play guitar?
No, but it does make me want to lean back a long way while playing guitar. Sort of bend my knees a little bit.
I understand.
And then I've been playing Angry Birds again, sort of out of the blue. And I'm really awesome with the Bomb Birds. That's pretty much it.
They released another batch of updates for that this week. Seasons is now all Valentine's Day-y.
Yeah, I'm not going to download that one.
But they also updated the original one, which is kind of crazy that they're still supporting both. But I think it's coming. I think they announced it's coming to the Wii and DS here pretty soon. And they're still working on the Xbox Live Arcade version. So those birds are not going away anytime soon.
The translation to console will be interesting.
Yeah. I have no idea how that's going to work, even with an analog stick.
Why do you think that game is so successful?
Is it simple? And
I can't play it.
It's cathartic. You get to break shit.
But you said you didn't get that far. You said you only got to like the third level or whatever.
Yeah, because I suck. Like
it's
I just
a first-person shooter and not named Halo. That's
why. She's good at Call of Duty too.
No. I said first-person shooter. That kind of includes that.
I don't know. I like the physics side of it. Just I don't know. But.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, addicting, and a perfect, you know, the levels are as really short and easy to pick up and put down. Christina, how about your threesome?
What?
Stop playing Final Fantasy 14, Christina.
What?
Oh, God.
Yeah, when you start to hear me go like, and so, yeah.
Heal me!
And, fuck. Yeah, no, it's off. So I got Final Fantasy 14 finally yesterday in the mail, even though I ordered it like 2 weeks ago, and I've only played for about, I think, 5 hours total. So impressions? No, I got it like last night, real late. So
today, like 5 hours.
I played last night before I went to bed, and I played a couple hours before the podcast. Visually, it's probably the best looking online MMO I've seen. Looks really clean. It makes no sense though.
So it's like, a Final Fantasy game.
The controls are very weird. You know, they're just trying to mix it up and change it for the sake of changing it.
Goes left.
Yeah, basically. So, I don't get how the quests work. You can only have 8 at a time, and I don't know how to cancel them or do anything. What I do like is that basically you don't have to worry about jobs so much. Once you equip a weapon, you are now that job. You don't have to go back to someone or create a new character. So that's cool.
I wish they had a job that was an actual jobber. Cole, come on. I set you up.
Yeah, you did. I got nothing.
No, that dog on. Liked that joke.
Books. I read, or I am in the process of reading a book called The Gunseller, which is a fiction comedy by Hugh Laurie. I don't know how good a writer he is, but so far so good.
Cool.
We shall see. And as far as TV goes, I watched the first two seasons of Lie to Me over the last week. And I don't know anyone who is watching that show. I've heard absolutely no hype about it, but they're in their third season.
I watch it.
I fucking love it. Oh my God. He is amazing. He is a fucking psychopath. I mean, you can just tell that that Tim Roth has played. Yes, I'm sorry. Potato, potato. You can tell that he's played like just really evil fucking characters before, and so yeah, he's big credit to all the actors on the show is they have to. The whole point is reading these subtleties in the facial expressions and body language. And so for them to be able to do that while they're acting and not have to think too hard about it says a lot about the people who are on that show. So I really am enjoying it. And he is the greatest British guy. Is it just me or does he have he's got like fucking huge canines on his bottom teeth. You see his teeth so much. He kind of sits there with his mouth open. He just looks psychotic.
He looks a little scary. I'm not going to lie. I like that about him. He looks like he might come across the table and like tear somebody's throat out at any moment.
And he always tilts his head too. Like,
oh yeah. He's got horrible posture. He's hunched over. His head's always kind of cocked to one side. His mouth kind of hangs open. And he looks like at any moment, this man is going to kill me. So watch it.
I think the first two seasons are on Netflix, so
yeah, that's where I watched them.
I wrote that show off just because it looked like the Fox is trying to do another version of House, basically.
But it's better.
Yeah, but it keeps hanging around. It seems to only be getting like better reviews and a bigger following. So that kind of surprised me.
Well, and the thing is, as opposed to House, where you're like, there's no way in hell this guy would keep his job.
Yeah.
With Lie to Me, it's like, he runs his own company, he has money problems, like, you can buy that somebody who's that big of a psycho would still be able to keep it.
But Ethan's threesomes.
Ethan's threesomes, wow, they're pretty exciting this week, and they're also kind of interconnected, sort of. First off, and this is just kind of something out to say to the kids, is anytime you have an agenda, make sure it's a global agenda. That's the game that I played. It's global agenda. And it really doesn't have much to do with any sort of globe, considering that I've been playing it for about 5 hours this week, and I've been in the same desert the whole time. What the game is kind of a mishmash of first-person shooter action and massively multiplayer online RPG. It's interesting because a lot of the matchmaking is kind of instanced and built in like they would with, you know, like your World of Warcraft or anything like that. But you can, you know, you and your buddies can go and battle each other, or you can battle, you know, just computer enemies, and or you could battle stuff. It's a battle simulator.
It's a battle game.
It's a battle game, but it's in the future, or a shitty future where everything's pretty much shitty, but you've got sweet like robot armor. So pretty interesting. It was $7.99 on Steam, and it doesn't have a monthly subscription, so why not? But I'm already sick of it, so I don't know if I'd recommend it or not.
Again, contradicting your meanwhile post today.
Yeah, no, it is a fun game. I've just been I don't know. I've had really bad attention when it comes to video games, so it's been fun, but it's just I'm kind of tired of. I'm not. The grind is kind of a lot tougher on this game than other games because there's not as many solo missions to do, so it's a little bit tougher than, you know, gain levels in like your World of Warcraft and that kind of stuff. So
after all that, I'm not gonna have a global agenda. Like you're trying to give us all advice, and then
it was Man, I'm a bad example. That's cool though.
You're kind of horrible,
but. The next show that I watched was a documentary called Food Matters, which is basically about how we all eat like shit, and that's why we all look and feel like shit. And actually made a lot of really, really good points. Well, yeah, I mean, I look pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, my skin is like ivory, like an elephant's tusk. You know what I mean? And that's beautiful. In some cultures.
So can I sell you on the black market?
You should. You'll get. Well, you wouldn't get much. You wouldn't get much. I'm of short stature, and they don't really want that. They want 6'2" and above. Well, anyway,
I hear that.
It was interesting. It was an interesting documentary. I mean, a lot of people are kind. I'm kind of crazy when it comes to the health stuff as of late. But anyone that's kind of interested in making themselves and feeling better and not being so dependent on taking, you know, pills all the time. I mean, it's a good documentary to watch. It may not turn out to be fact, but they make some really good points. So check it out. Why not? And then talking about food and planets or globes and then combining those two things is I played a game called Tasty Planet, which is about a small blob that eats stuff and becomes a bigger blob and just continues eating things. It's a lot like Katamari Damacy Davo Dudu Van. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Katamari Damacy.
You got it right.
Did I get it right? Yeah. It's a lot like that, but it's a browser game, and it's you know, it's simple and fun, and I had a good time. And well, only part of it, though, in Christina, you may agree with me on this one, is there was a scene where you grew to the size that you could consume cats, and when you would eat the cats, they would like kind of meow in a sad way, and it made me really sad. Like, I couldn't play the level. Like, I really struggled.
Fucking cat people.
Well, I know. I was kind of upset, and my two cats came in. They were like, what the fuck's going on, dude? You know? Well, I don't know, guys, and I think it's weird that you can talk, so it was
this when you were on shrooms?
No, I haven't taken those for about a week or so.
Okay. All right.
It actually sounds a little bit like the Maw.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds... Because he grows to, like, the size of a planet, doesn't he?
Yeah, by the end of it.
Maybe it was more like that, but I haven't played that game, so I don't have the reference. But maybe I should play the game so I'd have the reference.
I think you need to go get the reference right now.
Is it a good game?
Second game he did?
Explosion Man, and it's Twisted Pixel.
Yeah.
Twisted Pixel.
Cool.
Yeah. It's probably really cheap on XBLA now. But anyway, actually, I think it's on Steam too. But
Maul?
All right. A natural segue into my threesomes. Went and saw Black Swan this weekend. It is as crazy as advertised. It also, one thing I don't think they do a good job about warning you about is it will give you, if you have any issue watching people clip their fingernails or toenails or anything like that, it's going to make you uncomfortable because it made me uncomfortable by the end of it. And that actually bothered me more than the, you know, crazy psycho women in it. So, Mila Kunis is hot, is the only other thing I have to say about that one.
On the boner scale, what would you give the movie?
A full boner.
Yeah!
Good. Just one? Oh, man.
Once again, I'm left out.
It's all right. I'm just making it awkward on purpose. But I think it was this week I read that the White Stripes officially called it a career. And so in honor of that, I've been going back through the White Stripes catalog and been obsessed with the Elephant album once again this week. Seven Nation Army never gets old, and I'm pretty much a sucker for Jack White's guitar. So. Been listening to that, and surprisingly, normally after I beat a game, and especially lately, after I beat a game and actually want to write a review of it for the site, I tend to drop the game for a while. But I did play a fair amount of Dead Space 2 immediately after I finished. Started playing through New Game Plus on harder difficulty, and there's just something about that game that was just made for me and how I play games. I never get sick of the combat or the tension in that game. Even now, when I know what's coming, I still I like to dismember shit. What can I say?
You're weird.
I am weird. Yeah. All right, let's get warmed up. On spot question time. In contradiction to our major topic, what game do you wish you'd actually spent more time with? Starting with Ethan.
I wish I would have spent a lot more time with Eternal Darkness. I drank a lot of coffee and beat that in like a night or a night and the next morning, and I really don't think that I absorbed as much of that game as I possibly could have. And there's all kinds of alternate stuff there's some alternate stuff that you can do in it. I miss it. I should have spent more time with it.
That was one of those games that you get a like an ultimate ending if you beat it three times, and I kind of tag teamed it with a buddy, and we got to see the full ending. And that third playthrough was a little bit rough because we did them all in succession, so it was like a very, very long weekend. But that game still stands out for good reason.
I could have sandwiched myself in between you guys while you played that.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. No, that's not what I meant.
Gifford, your game.
Heroes of Might and Magic 5. Really enjoyed 2 and 3. 4 was okay. And then I bought 5, and it is really resource intensive. Mm-hmm. And the computer I had before my current one just really wouldn't run it. It just wouldn't run.
What separates that series? I don't know a thing about it other than I think it probably has wizards in it.
It's a turn-based sort of strategy game.
All right.
But yeah, I actually own 5. I played it for a little while on my current computer, but really not enough because I bought it about the same time I bought my 360.
Mm-hmm.
Or got back into 360 gaming, I guess. And I just didn't spend a lot of time with it, and I really enjoyed the previous iterations.
Gotcha.
So I wish I would have played more of it.
That satisfactorily answers the question, then.
Yeah.
Christina, what about your game?
I never did get too far into Final Fantasy VIII because
it sucked.
It is. You know, I didn't get far enough to know that it sucked.
Okay.
I think I was at the end of disc one, and my disc was scratched. And the final boss fight, I could not finish it without it dying. So never got to move on and see how bad it was.
Didn't that game actually have an entire disc, like, just for one summon?
Probably. It was at least a 3-discer.
Man, I'm just trying to knock it out of the park and nobody's taking the bait. But
sorry.
No, thank you. You helped out. I was looking for a reaction out of the guys I know who had played the game and complained about it. But
wait, was that the Final Fantasy with all the crazy characters and like the really complicated storyline?
Yeah. No. Right.
Fine, I'll leave those jokes to Ethan. Jesus. Cole.
My game is Chrono Cross. It came out right as I was going to college, so I had other things on my mind. I did buy it, but
like sandwiches
and other things, like pizza and
soda.
I don't know. Some soda, and some Cosby. Actually, Cosby got in the way of a lot of gaming.
Is it Cosby?
Yeah, the Cosby Show.
A Cosby sweater?
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, I played it and bought it, but I never finished it, and I regret that to this day. And I hope it comes out on PlayStation Network just so I can don't have to order it from somewhere and can just buy it for $10 on there and download it. So
I think we'll I actually own it.
Really?
Because when I bought my PS2, I went back and bought a handful of PlayStation 1 games that I never got to play, and that was in there. And I played about 4 hours of it and didn't go back to it, even though I really wanted to. So I think
dig that
curse followed me.
Yeah, dig it out.
Oh, I will dig it out. Surprisingly, in my Super Nintendo days, the best game that I paid the least attention to was A Link to the Past. I don't recall ever beating it during the Super Nintendo phase. I think I beat it on an emulator in college. It was the first time I actually beat it. And I think I got the Super Nintendo kind of, you know, mid-life cycle, and there were just a ton of games out, and I was too focused on some of the games I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but I just never got back around to it, and I think I was more into like the Final Fantasies and that type of thing at that point. But I apologize for that, Nintendo.
I am shocked. I really am shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have seen. Like, there's nothing like having your mind blown by the Dark World, like 10 years after the fact.
Oh.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why. I beat Ocarina of Time before I beat that. But I played I played the hell out of the NES version, so
something. That's the best version. I mean, that's the best game in the series, in my opinion. I can't believe you didn't play it till completion until college.
Yeah,
crazy.
I don't even have an explanation for it. It's like I blacked out during that period of when I should play it.
I know what happened.
What happened?
Here. Run and gun, Justin.
Was it run and gun or was it give and go?
I thought it was run and gun. Maybe it's give and go. I don't know.
The worst NBA game that I loved the most. Yeah.
Konami's NBA game.
Yeah. no one knows what we're talking about. So let's move on.
That's okay.
You guys remember Space Jam?
No.
Yes. The movie. Awesome.
That's
never saw
all
it.
I remember about basketball.
Had Newman in it.
Larry's not white. Larry's clear. Best line in any movie ever.
Wow. Oh, man. All right. Our just 5 more minutes conversation. We each month we try to kind of revisit one of our editorial series that's going on the site and have at least somewhat of a constructive video game conversation around it on the podcast. And this month we wanted to take a look back at the games that we played way too much growing up. And so mainly focus on those classic games, the game that you would put in and not realize that you were running late to dinner or you accidentally pulled an all-nighter and kind of the stories around that. So we will actually start with Ethan, your first game.
Well, I don't always play Final Fantasy games, but when I do, I play Final Fantasy Tactics. It's Dos Equis. Yeah? No.
What?
What?
Did that just happen?
Are you fucking
talking about the most interesting man in the world?
God damn it! I was waiting for that the whole podcast! I ruined it.
Try again.
Did you? Oh, okay, maybe it wasn't as funny as I anticipated. Anyway.
So lost.
Yeah. We'll talk later. I'll explain it to you later. Final Fantasy Tactics was... I don't even know why I started playing it. I really didn't like 7. I never really got into it because I didn't feel like I had enough control over the movements of my characters. And Nathan actually picked up Final Fantasy Tactics, and I started playing it one day and just got hooked. Just because of the turn-based aspect of it, but also the fact that you're moving your characters and positioning and doing all that sort of thing is what really got me into it. And that's one of the most addicting aspects of it was that every battle could be approached in a very different way. On top of that, you had all kinds of job classes and that sort of thing. So definitely a deep game. and there was all kinds of there was a little bit of secret content, and this is one of those games that, like, I just dug into it, and I just tried to get everything that I possibly could. And I think the only thing I didn't get in this game was a, like, high level summon in this, like, crazy ass tough black land where everything was just dark and scary and had traps and stuff in it. I can't even remember what the game was really about, to be quite honest with you, other than there was these glowing balls that people got a hold of, but they turned them into monsters, and then you had to fight those monsters, and then you, like, you just hung out and you had a good time. I mean, there was some happiness in it, too. I mean, I just recall the one time that why I knew this game kind of had a whole... And I think this was one of the first games that actually kind of just stole a lot of my time was. It was summer break, and my dog came downstairs while I was playing. This was at 9 o'clock in the morning, and my dog just walked up and just peed on the carpet, probably within a foot of my. And literally, I just avoided. I just I'll get it later on. And I looked back up at the clock. It was like 3 o'clock, and so I just kind of hung out in this urine smelling room.
Wow. I was
swimming. Yeah. So that made kind of a low point, but oh man. That's a cool game, and I'd actually like to go back and play that game again.
Also, just apparently it defeats the smell of urine around you.
They know I kind of felt like I was...
Well, damage is done, whatever. I don't associate that kind of tactical game with, I don't know, it's maybe more so now with your playing style, Ethan, but just growing up, that surprises me that... I mean, you kind of relate it to Final Fantasy VII, but Final Fantasy Tactics is a completely different animal than most.
Oh, yeah. I think that's why I liked it, because, I mean, the cool aspect of Final Fantasy VII is I like to watch my brother play it. I like the storyline and how complicated it was and how there was all kinds of these different characters. But I just didn't like just standing in one place with my characters. And this one, you know, again, it presented you the battlefield. You made different decisions. And actually, after this game, I got into XCOM really big. And those are games that were completely...
Somebody just had an orgasm.
Sorry, I'm still remembering XCOM.
XCOM will do that to people, I've heard.
I'll give them orgasms?
Yeah.
It was a small one. I'll shower later.
And bring up XCOM around my roommate.
But, I don't know. It was weird because, again, like I say, I'm one half meathead and one half, like, ultra geek, and this was definitely the ultra geek aspect of me coming out in high school. So
did you try any of the other, like, heavily tactical RPGs? Like, I think beyond those, I got into the Disgaea series, which is a little bit probably too Japanese for most. It's a little bit anime styled, but I never got into Final Fantasy Tactics, so but those
did you
games
ever play, like, Battle Ogre or Tactics Ogre or anything like that?
No, I didn't realize that makes sense that those are related now, but that's probably where the tactics side came in. I was just trying to think of other games in the genre, but Disgaea seems to be the one that is kind of continuing on today. So
I'm assuming these are all turn-based?
Yeah.
Okay.
Coleman, your first game.
Well, I've been known to buy consoles for one game, and this was probably the first time that happened to me was when Metal Gear Solid came out. I bought a PlayStation and I played the hell out of that game because it was the only game I had at the time, but also because it was awesome. I think I've related a story where I've fell asleep while playing on more than one occasion, just because I was not because I was bored, but just because I was so tired and was just down in my basement. It was warm and just trying to sneak around. It's not the most, like, action-packed game, and I think I just passed out.
That Metal Gear is just
five
cozy.
More minutes.
Yeah, just five more minutes. Yeah. I still have really fond memories of that game. I haven't gone back to it in years. But it was a system seller, and it just was, I can't, I'm just, like, remembering all the times I spent playing it, and yeah, it was, those were nice times.
I like
was
how
you, an orgasm.
Little one.
What's the orgasm later. Count? We've got two so far. Two orgasms. Two orgasms on two games. We're doing well.
Mine was a little more mellow.
God.
I like how Cole's just five more minutes is like preventing him from falling asleep. And I don't know. I always interpreted the topic name as more of like you're gonna get in trouble or being called to the dinner table type of deal. Like I need to play for five more minutes. Just let me. But you're just like it's five more minutes and.
Well, I'm the opposite of probably most people at this internet roundtable. I'm not a person who stays up late. I'm an early riser, and so no matter how much sleep I got the night before, if I'm up real late, playing video games, I'll fall asleep. So,
did you play the remake of this, the Twin Sakes?
No, I never did. When did that come out? Did that come out for Xbox or GameCube? Yeah. No, I owned the GameCube for a minute and never.
One minute.
And that minute, I never got Metal Gear.
Rogue Squadron's not as good as I expected.
Yeah.
I think I actually borrowed the Twin Snakes from Nathan.
I thought it was
Ethan's brother.
I thought it was pretty well done. It was actually the Silicon Knights, the Eternal Darkness guys. Oh, we did that.
Which one had Raiden? The first one.
That was
the
second one.
Piece of shit.
Wait, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't one. Sega.
Second one.
Oh, Metal Gear Solid 2.
Solid 2.
Yeah, see, that was the first one I played, and.
You're probably less upset that you got to play as did get to play as the main guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know any better. So he is annoying though.
I wonder if that day when Metal Gear Solid 2 launched, if there was like just a collective "what the fuck" moment in every time zone of like all the, you know, where they all hit that spot at the same moment. And
well, that's the thing that sucks. Like they tease you with Solid Snake for the first half.
Oh,
of the
spoiler
game.
Alert! By the way,
I think the Statue of Limitations has expired.
I think so.
I hope so, anyway.
Did you play 3? Did you play Snake Eater?
I never played 3. I did not have a PlayStation at the time, and a PlayStation 2, and I just kind of skipped over it, but got back in it when 4 came out.
Gotcha.
So I don't really even know. I don't even really know anybody that played 3, or haven't really heard anything good or bad about it. So
I just remember... I kept renting PlayStations but never buying them, and I never had memory cards. So I think I played through the Metal Gear Solid demo about 20 times one weekend. Just because I couldn't get enough of it, but also couldn't get any further. But yeah, I think I beat it on Twin Snakes. I don't think I played the original because I skipped the PlayStation because I was such Nintendo fanboy at the time.
Did they add anything to it, or was it just a reskinning or up-res graphics?
I think they tweaked a couple things, but nothing major story-wise.
I did love the callback to the first game. Oh, this is another spoiler alert. Callback to the first game in Metal Gear Solid 4. That was pretty cool.
Did anybody actually play the original Metal Gear?
I played it
on Nintendo.
Played on emulation, but not in actual.
I witnessed. Man, I had to have been like 5 or 6 years old at this point. Does that make sense? No. Well,
no.
I was little.
You could never be 5.
Because I think I played that when I was 5 or 6. Well, all right, that makes sense.
All I remember is I was at my babysitter's, and the son of the babysitter was playing through it, and I witnessed the entire game, and I watched him play that and Metroid and had no idea what the fuck was going on, but I was like, this guy is amazing. Like, how does he know what to do? And who knows? He had, like, every strategy guide that Nintendo would sell him out to get through those games. All right. Christina, your first game.
Well, back in the day, I did not have consoles, and I had a computer, and it was an old school Wackintosh, and it was right before the iMac came out, so there's still those, you know, off-white boxy things. And
but it wasn't the the green colored screen?
No.
Okay. None of Apple
IIe. It was in color. I couldn't tell you the model. But anyway, and the Wackintosh had a total of 5 games that were worth playing. One of them was X-Wing, which was a flight simulator featuring all those ships from Star Wars. So I absolutely loved it. It was right around the time that I got into Star Wars, too, because I didn't watch them until I was about 8, 9, 10, something like that. So, yeah, X-Wing was pretty badass. You could be an X-Wing, or you could be an A-Wing, Y-Wing, B-Wing, etc. And there were all these missions for each one. You could earn ribbons and medals and everything, and... it was
I forgot
hard.
About it. It had achievements, basically.
It did.
For the record, the Y-Wing is the family truckster. What a piece of poo.
Y-Wing is a piece of shit. I was A-Wing a big fan hate. Of the A-Wing. I loved the A-Wing.
You guys are racist.
It was sleek. It was fast.
And is this innuendo and I'm just missing it?
Yeah. No, the A-Wing game was... Okay. Independently produced on a whole bunch of different worlds. Some of them even had wood paneling. And oh my god, I'm a geek!
That one got away from me a little bit.
Talking about
so
the A-Wing wasn't independently.
That's a different podcast.
It was in the movie. I can show you a picture of the A-Wing in the movie.
I will explain sometime when we don't actually have listeners. Who don't know that I have a bookshelf.
No, I demand a nerd off right now.
God damn it. You know what? The A-Wing was independently produced on different planets within the Star Wars universe.
I'm time-stamping this.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant...
Like it was franchised out. No, like it was franchised out to different planets. One of them even had wood paneling.
Okay.
I win the nerd off if you can win a nerd off.
I don't know.
I think we all lost.
We all lost.
I just have all lost.
I just know I have a shit ton of wedgies to hand out here pretty soon.
So did was it the A-Wing that made it so addictive? What made it addictive?
It was the first one of the first simulators I played. And yeah, just the different ships. You had to learn how to fight in each one. It was you had a different strategy in each and. It was really hard. I also did not have the proper, like, I didn't have a joystick or anything, so that made it really difficult to have to do everything with the mouse. Couldn't barrel roll, which was a pain in the ass. But I still did pretty good.
She sucked.
It was the
single player offline days where no one really got to see how good you were at a game anyway.
Exactly.
That's why we were all awesome at them.
Yes, absolutely. So we never played against anybody else.
I just remembered that was the first game I discovered a cheat code on, where if you hit, I think Command M was the hotkey for shutting off the music, but I accidentally hit Command N. Between some scenes, and for some reason there was like a hidden nicer 3D render of the cutscene, and it was badass. And I discovered that.
Why are you turning the music off in a Star Wars game?
Because sometimes I had to.
I've heard it once or twice.
Yeah, sorry, but it gets a little repetitive when
it doesn't.
You're listening to 17 hours of da 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 da
da. We got a minute. Hey, we can't afford for you to sing the song.
I'm gonna go with this is Cole. I'm sorry, I don't want to steal your line, but Christine is wrong.
Oh, what an unfortunate!
If anybody can use it, I don't mind.
What an unfortunate weekly occurrence. I'm trying to think of the future iterations of that game. You guys mentioned, I think
X-Wing Alliance was the last.
Because I mean, even like the Rogue Squadron games, those became like, you know, outside the ship. There wasn't like there was a simulator side to the X-Wing games that made it so popular. Like I had friends that were obsessed with the TIE fighter side of this game, and all I remember about playing it was that. I never really knew what the mission structure was. It just seemed like everything was kind of infinite, and every mission seemed unique. And I think I was just, you know, kind of being naive at that age, not to be able to detect the structure of things. But it was just, it seemed like it just had endless gameplay to it.
Yeah.
I don't know about X-Wing, but X-Wing Alliance followed a pretty.
I think it's what I didn't like about it.
Pretty rigid structure. I mean, there was storyline.
I think,
which I enjoyed.
Yeah, I think I wasn't ready for stories quite yet.
There wasn't a story in X-Wing that I can remember. It was just like
shoot the TIE fighters.
Shoot the TIE fighters.
And argue about A-Wings.
Yeah.
All right, Gifford, your first game.
My first game is Doom 2. And this is one I honestly hope I don't really have to explain the game is or why I found it addicting.
Well, if all those kids that Ethan keeps referencing that he thinks are listening to the podcast, you might need to introduce it for them.
All right. Doom 2 is the hyper-realistic simulation of a space marine trapped on Mars, who encounters all of the colony being wiped out because it's been invaded by demons from hell.
Gotcha. And,
the
Rock is somehow involved.
Is he?
No, The Rock is not involved. We're not discussing that.
Not yet.
I smelled what he was cooking, though.
2 weeks in a row.
Hold on.
And it involved, the demons were all from like medieval mythology, and you got to mix in rocket launchers and
a big fucking gun.
Yeah,
What medieval mythology did the robot spider come from?
Okay, I can't touch the robot spider, but the succubi, the big floating heads that shot fireballs at you.
Okay. The caco demons.
Yeah.
That's funny. So,
An FPS, right? It's an id Software game, sort of. It was almost a Wolfenstein upgrade. Just swap Nazis for demons and added more guns.
And so,
did anybody beat that game without using codes?
It's not
fun. Yeah. No.
What?
Yeah,
I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Doom 2, yes, I did. You had to get on that elevator thing and time it. It took so long, but I did.
I have beat the game without using codes to beat the game, but I've not gotten from the beginning to the end without cheating.
Oh, yeah, I have.
You didn't no-clip through any wall?
Uh-huh.
IDKFA through one level?
Dude, I had no friends in elementary school. I had no distraction.
I can attest to that.
For the kids, IDKFA apparently stands for keys, something, ammo.
It's very happy ammo.
But yeah, my brother and I thought it was ID kick fucking ass, which worked. but anyway, long game, high level difficulty. I had a paper route. And I got back on I think it was a Saturday morning, about 6 o'clock. And I remember finishing the game about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My brother had come in to watch. And I think the first time I beat it, which was that big marathon session, was I did cheat and I did clip and see one of the designer's heads on a stake and shot a rocket into it and won the game.
That's how it's done.
So... yeah, Doom 2.
Did you ever play it online? Did you get into that side?
No, I don't think I ever played that online. Although, to be fair, I don't think we had an internet connection back then. This was on a 486DX.
I think when I played it online, it was like years later, and it was just because it was the game that everybody had, and it was easy to play. Because, I mean, I remember I couldn't even get... I couldn't even get Doom like past my parents when it first came out, and then I kind of grew into. I was the only one that knew how to work the computer, and you know, found my ways to actually get it. But that was That was the game I came home and played for months straight right after school. This was like, you know, drop the backpack in the door, go into the computer room, and come out for dinner. You know, that type of game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also got really big into, not really like the mod community or anything like that, but like the Master Levels disc that they put out that had like all the extra levels of play, and they also like the sound library so you could play it with, you know, Simpsons sounds. I always got a big kick out of that shit.
I think I segued directly from Doom 2 into Island of the Dead. I don't know if anybody else played that. It was another first-person shooter with zombies on an island and with a little bit of role-playing mixed into it. You had to, like, add oil to the rusted rifle to make it work instead of blowing up and you dying a grisly death. But, yeah, Doom 2 was probably my first segue into modern gaming, and by that I mean not Commodore 64.
Like, I remember playing Doom 2 on a crappy computer and then playing it on a beefed up computer, and just that's when I started to pay attention to graphics. Like, even though it was just kind of, you know, almost faked 3D at that point, it was still, you know, miles ahead of anything I was playing on the consoles at that time. So
yeah, absolutely.
Ethan, do you have any lost track of time stories with that game since you beat it without codes?
Probably the day that I did finally beat it. That was one of those ones where, because there were three boys living in the house, and I closed the office door because I was playing, and so Nathan and Matthew, who were both behemoths at, you know, way before I ever, you know, grew into my pants.
This makes me slightly uncomfortable thinking about my friend Nathan from junior high.
You were wearing oversized pants when you were growing up. Okay, continue.
Well, you know, it's all hand-me-downs from bottom and the top. Anyway, they were just banging on the door. They're like, dude, you know, it's time for us to play. And I was like, go fuck yourselves. And then they opened the door and just beat the shit out of me.
Nice. My first game, a completely different genre, and a genre I really haven't returned to very much since. The end of my baseball career was spent with a lot of late nights playing Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball for the Super Nintendo. I grew up a huge fan of RBI Baseball and Bases Loaded on the NES, but never translated into getting to the more realistic games that have come out on PlayStation 2 and since. So King Griffey was just like the right balance of like between simulation and arcade type of sports that I really liked. And but also they tried to, I remember convincing myself that they tried to make every character look like the real life character, even though it was basically only five or six character models, and Ken Griffey Jr. looked like himself. So I was pretty blown away by that. At first, just that I could play as the players. That was, licensing was still kind of new at that point, you know, coming off of, you know, the Tecmo sports games and that kind of thing. That those were the only games you got to play as your heroes. And at that time, I was actually kind of into baseball. But the obsessive side of me kind of kicked in because my best friend at the time and I decided we're going to play through a 162 game season.
Oh, and Jesus.
So for 3 months, I think we're in junior high at this point, for 3 months, every weekend was spent just alternating each other, getting to play one game at a time and trying to get through the season. And we tried to bump up like all the realism to it, so the games still took a realistic amount of time, and I don't think we got through a third of the season, but it, you know, it took months to even get that far. And it kept track of the stats of all your players, and I was obsessed with having, you know, the best pitcher and the most home runs and the most RBIs and the highest batting average. And when a game would go awry around the third inning, I would reset the game.
Rage quit.
Yeah. it became a problem, and it was kind of the first time that I realized that I was being a little bit too obsessive about this game, and nothing was really coming from it. But
now, when you talk about the realism versus arcade, was this prior to like when they started having you behind the batter or with the batter's eyes? This was still sort of three-quarter view.
It was RBI baseball style, kind of over the top of the batter, and it still had a very kind of, it was 2D cartoony characters, but like kind of realistic Super Nintendo graphics. Like, it was really big on like making the muscles look huge and that kind of thing. But it was so there was no 3D to it at all. The next version tried to do some pseudo 3D with it, but it was just borderline. Like I said, it was still arcade, but it was almost like faking the realism at that point. But the home run animations are really cool, so that's what kept me going. Cole, you're the only other big baseball fan that I know of in this list. Did you play that game very much?
Oh, yeah, I played. I tend to remember Winning Run, which is the sequel to this one, more than the first one. I never owned it, but I did rent it a time or two, and I think that was around the start of us becoming friends, so I remember playing it at your house too. So but other than that, during the Super Nintendo time, besides NBA Jam, I didn't really play that many sports games. I was just more into Secret of Mana and Final Fantasy VI and stuff like that. So
I'm pretty sure that's what I went to next, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the Super Nintendo was the end of my sporting career. No, I guess N64 had NFL Blitz, but that's another story.
And Kobe Bryant.
Oh, shit. Nicely done. All right. I've riveted all the sports fans here, it sounds like. So let's move on to our first and only break question. Just kind of go around the table. Anybody can jump in here, but looking back at all these games that we spent a lot of time with, did you ever get in trouble for playing too much, and what was your punishment?
Yes! my dad was, I think, at work. My mom was still at work, got home, started playing, and of course lost track of time. Dad got home, I had a book report due the next day, and he wanted to see my progress. And I did something lousy. I did the classic, let me turn on the computer and, oh, where is it? Oh, it's gone! Which he didn't buy at all, and I got grounded for at least a week on that one.
Anybody else?
I think most of mine, my parents were pretty strict on the whole video games and TV before homework kind of deal, and my mom was a strong believer in go outside, I'll call you for dinner, which, looking back on it, is probably good parenting, but
you don't say,
bitch.
I don't think I ever got in trouble for just flat out playing too much, but I do know I got in trouble for either lying about homework being done, or my brother and I would get in fights about whose turn it was, that kind of thing. So I would get in trouble for that. And since I'm the older brother, I would definitely get in trouble because he would do the little brother thing, hit all the buttons, and I would thump on him. And predictable outcome. Not so much just straight up playing too much. All of that said, I got a flat out apology from my mom when we discovered that I was actually ADD, and she was like, "Oh my god, I grounded you like all of high school." I was like, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't video games. Way to go, Mom.
Yeah, I always had, they started timing me, basically, that I was only allowed like hour increments on the weekends when it was nice, mainly kind of like a summer type of thing. And then my dad used to always joke, once we moved to my new place, that we finished the basement and basically all my gaming stuff was down there, he always joke and check my back for mushrooms whenever I would come up from the basement. But yeah, the only like effective form of punishment for me was to ground me from the video games. So, because if you just ground me in the house, I just play video games, and sometimes I tried to make that happen.
Yeah, mine's pretty similar to Justin's. I would get grounded from video games, and sometimes my dad would take my Nintendo controllers away, but I always had like the Turbo controller, the NES Max. And he always forget about that one, so I would still be able to play until, you know, obviously I wouldn't do it when they're home, but I also got told to go outside a time or two in my day.
Yeah, my parents tried to discipline me when I was younger, but I just looked at them and I said, I do what I want. And they just backed off that really quickly, so I never got punished.
You think he's joking?
No, I was fortunate to be the middle child and also yet another ADHD character, and thus I tended to find ways to use that to my advantage and say, I need them! I need these! These are helping me in things, and they'd be like, oh, that's not a good point at all, but we'll go with it because we had no argument against it.
We have two other children who are taking attention.
All right, we're going to go to our second and final round of games here. I go in a little bit of reverse order, starting with Gifford.
My second game is... I hope this is one where everybody understands how you can have just 5 minutes more. It's Sid Meier's Civilization III, which I think was really the first approachable one of the series. It's a turn-based simulation, kind of in the vein of SimCity for the older crowd. For the younger crowd, Civ 5 is out, so check it out. It's an incredible game.
You know what I heard about Civ 5? Is that it's the most approachable Civ game.
Yeah, I have also heard that. I mean, so you're given the choice of a bunch of different global civilizations, and you start out like Bronze Age, basically, which... For the phys ed majors, that means pre-iron, like just north of caveman. Think like Jesus, that kind of civilization.
Jesus was a caveman?
No, he was Bronze Age civilization.
I love
that. And then you progress your civilization throughout the ages to roughly a little advanced, more advanced than our technology today. You can start wars, you have diplomacy, you can launch ICBMs, you can kill Gandhi.
Thank God.
Yeah, he's an asshole. But
actually is.
Anyway, so the thing about the game is there's always just one more turn. Like, oh, it's only four more turns until I've built a battleship, or I've unlocked the pyramids at Giza, or whatever, which would give you a bunch of bonuses. And it was just incredibly easy to lose track of time.
Like days.
I got it my senior year of college. I played a lot, especially after I broke up with my girlfriend in college. Because, you know, it's distracting.
Because the game came out.
Yeah, the game came out. And then I even re-downloaded it when I was in law school, which probably explains my tax law grade, because the class was really boring, and I had it on my laptop. I'm not sure I can pick one lost track of time story, because there were just so many.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's almost...
at the clock, and it's 5:30 in the morning on a Tuesday, and it's like, shit, I have to go to class.
The losing track of an entire night seems to be a Civ phenomenon. I mean, I lost track of friends because of that game, because I had four of them that played it obsessively going into high school. And, you know, we were supposed to hang out for weekends, and they would start a game on a Friday night, and we were going to hang out on Saturday night, and none of them would show up because they were all passed out because they stayed up all night playing against each other. And it was the game. I couldn't get into the earlier Civs. I jumped in on 4 and experienced it for myself, but yeah, that, I mean, They also got like their dads involved, so it was like this father son tournament thing that, yeah, it encapsulated the whole weekend, and I think just one turn is the phrase everybody associates with that game that everybody also knows the feeling too.
Yeah, there was even a buddy of mine who I'm still friends with who could play that on whatever the hell the hardest difficulty was and win. And the thing was, he had a social life and got good grades, so I'm really still not sure how he pulled that off.
He was just really diplomatic because he learned all his skills from the game.
Maybe that's it.
There you go.
Or he just beat everybody up until they left his continent. One of the two.
Yeah, you gotta kill them early. Once the other nations get ICBMs, it's over.
Don't we know that? Christina, your last game.
Diddy Kong Racing was an addiction of mine. I did not have Mario Kart. Not by choice, just happened to be that way. I think Christmas presents. We got Diddy Kong Racing, and so my brother and I would play that ad nauseum. And I remember playing it like all night. I think my parents were gone, and so my brother and I played it for at least like 5 or 6 hours. And when I stood up and tried to walk to the kitchen, I had been playing at the side of the TV, kind of angling toward it. So for some reason, watching the game in 3D had messed up with my balance or something. And so I was walking at an angle. I couldn't walk straight for about an hour. I've never before or since experienced that. But
were you also making like airplane noises?
I was.
Diddy Kong Racing, it'll make you walk sideways.
It'll make you walk sideways if you walk, you know, if you're not sitting right in front of the TV. Something about the 3D and racing forward, and it had fucked up my perspective.
I missed the train on Diddy Kong. I was too much of a fanboy of Mario Kart, and I always thought Diddy Kong was a stupid character, and he didn't deserve his own game, so fuck him.
No one ever used him as a character. It was just, I mean, that's where we got Conker from.
The pissing squirrel?
The
I forgot! Squirrel. That was like the nice Conker, too.
He was a nice Conker, yeah.
It was before they switched it. That's funny.
Man, it was shocking when that Conker game came out. I'm like, whoa, he's a little asshole. I'm trying to think of other characters that came
out.
Yeah,
they made up a bunch that, yeah, were never in anything other than random Donkey Kong games. But
yeah.
Was there a pigeon?
There was a rooster that was the second best.
I mean, I know people that played and loved Diddy Kong, but it just wasn't me. But did any of you guys play and like it?
It came out, Pat, after I had kind of moved on to the PlayStation and more adult games, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wasn't very good at racing games, and Diddy Kong, to me, was a little bit too hip with his baseball cap on, so I just didn't feel like it spoke to me.
That's how you could tell he was gangsta. No, but I think the other reason why I loved it was there was a tiger in there.
Of course.
So. Was it Jade?
It was not jaded, but it was cute, and it was a tiger.
All right. I accept.
Number three.
I forgot to do that the first time, so.
That was like a yelgasm. That sounded like scary. Like
orgasms, one yelgasm. Yeah. All right. Cole, your next game.
Well, I'm about to have number four.
tonight for you?
No. Two on the night, four overall.
Okay.
Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time. It came out right before Thanksgiving in 98, and I remember sending off for the gold cartridge and waiting at home for that package to arrive, and then Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I did not want to go because I just wanted to stay home and play that game. So, yeah.
Another another
battle. There it was.
what was the advantage? The gold cartridge.
It looked gold. There was no advantage. It was just you know, kind of old school, like first Legend of Zelda and second Legend of Zelda. They made the cartridge gold, even though it wasn't shiny like those first two.
I had a gold
one. And you have to be special Nintendo Power subscriber, I think, to.
I also heard it made you better, like as a person.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
That's how I've got through the rest of high school.
I always looked down upon people who had the gray Ocarina of Time cartridge. Like, I am better than you.
I do remember, like all of us had the gold one, like in our little inner circle, and I forgot that they made the gray one.
Yeah.
Listen to you and your little inner circle and your gold cartridges. Why don't you guys just suck it? I had a gray cartridge. I was happy with it, but I remember this asshole came over to our house with his fucking gold cartridge. You know, looking back, it was kind of a stupid purchase. You know, that gold didn't do anything for you, but at the time, I was like, I'm jealous of you, and why are you doing this?
I was so young. I was just overcompensating for not playing through A Link to the Past.
Yep. I was overcompensating for not having any other friends besides you guys.
Well, I know, but then you pushed your gold cartridge agenda on me, and I was done with it. We weren't friends anymore.
But I think
lost a friend.
Yeah, there were multiple of us that were boycotting Thanksgiving that year. That made me so angry because I had to travel that next day, get home from school Wednesday night, and I got to play maybe like an hour, and it just felt like everybody else was home playing the game, and I was falling behind.
Yeah, I think we got it. I think it came out on the Monday, but I think I didn't get mine until Wednesday in the mail.
There's a Wikipedia entry on your guys'. It's called the Great Legend of Zelda boycott, the Thanksgiving boycott. There's actually a list.
Really?
That was a big deal. You guys are like that's tough. Like the Magnificent Seven, man. Yeah.
You should post a link to that.
Okay.
Ha ha ha, Link, that's good. Ha ha.
Hey!
You know, I never really got that into Ocarina. I mean, I played through Ocarina.
What?
I played through Ocarina.
It's arguably the second best Zelda game.
I'm just
what
saying.
An enthusiastic argument.
I got a new TV and Metroid for the first Metroid game for the GameCube at Christmas one year, and I remember basically boycotting the rest of Christmas with my TV set up on an ottoman in my bedroom so I could play the new Metroid game.
I think that's our next just 5 minutes is all the holiday boycotts that we've been through. Dude, video game. Oh.
So I didn't really introduce the game that much. Do I need to talk about that, like what it is?
What is it? No.
It's a game.
If that really requires an introduction, they shouldn't be listening.
Yeah, I feel bad for you. Yeah. Introduce Doom 2. That's so, that was pretty. I enjoyed it though, for the wrong reasons.
This is the Old Testament. I didn't know anything about
Doom. What did you learn about Doom?
That you fight weird shit on Mars. I didn't know it took place on Mars.
Yeah, that's the sequel.
So. You're a first person shooter.
She,
I know, listen, but I didn't get
she
into
she was sheltered,
it, Halo.
Man.
Learn your history. Come on.
Read a book.
Star Wars.
Wolfenstein 3D.
Play a game. 3D.
Download DOSBox on your computer.
So now you understand how much shock she went through when she had the chainsaw in Gears of War.
Oh, dude, that's what triggered it. I mean, I got into Halo, but it was Gears of War that got me into, like, cutting people in half.
In real life?
Yeah. I mean, no.
Are we up to the jury, sister?
Are we up to
Gears 5? Gears 4 leads to Dexter. Dexter leads to actually doing it in real life.
Dude, I'm on the road. Yeah, Gears, then Dexter. Ooh.
Yeah. See where I'm going.
All right.
Do any of you know how to get rid of a body?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
I have a friend who owns a lot
more
of
people
pigs.
Here. More people here.
Moving on.
More people here know how to get rid of a body than don't. that's an interesting question.
That'll be the on-the-spot question next week.
Have you? Okay. All right. Ethan, your final game.
My final game, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. People that haven't played that, you're an idiot.
Oh!
See?
Four.
It's fine.
Dude, you're like... You're probably really sweaty right now. After all
this. I'm shooting blanks at this point.
I can't go on. Oh, okay. Let's get past that. This was a really awesome game. It combined the best of what an RPG had to offer with the best of what a side-scrolling action game had to offer, and it was a super deep game. And I remember playing it and just thinking, when is this game going to end? And then suddenly, the castle I was in, spoiler alert, flipped upside down. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, upside down castle. I always liked Castlevania games.
I think it was inverted. What? I think it was inverted, not upside down.
Yeah, it was upside down.
That's being a dick.
That means the same thing.
Go ahead, go.
Douches, damn it. I loved Castlevania growing up. That was a game that I remember watching my cousin play. And when I finally got to the point where I could afford to buy my own video games, it just caught my eye. And I did everything in that game. I actually got to the point where I got most every weapon and fought every enemy that you could fight. You know, got to the inverted castle. And I got something called a multiplier. I don't know if you guys that have played it got that, but it was actually an object that cost 1,000,000 gold in the game and actually multiplied whatever object that you had so that you could have infinite amounts of food and dynamite and all that kind of stuff. So
because when you have that much gold, you really need all that extra stuff.
Yeah, I guess that.
That inverted castle is hard.
It is, but not when you have that much gold.
No, trust me, dude. I went into that inverted castle, and I just, like, they were all like, hey, we're upside down. And I was like, I'm not scared of that shit. I torched it. You know what I mean? There was nothing left at the end of that. I really liked the game.
What about remembering how you lost track of time?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, there was a school dance that I happened to not have a date to. But, you know, I was convinced to go to it anyway because that's just what kids your age do. So I remember playing that game and it came time for the dance. I had all my dress clothes on and the time came and went and my mom didn't realize that I hadn't set up a person to take me to the dance. And then she came upstairs. I was still playing it. She goes, God, really, dude?
I'm trying to picture your mom saying, God, really, dude? Yeah,
I can see that.
Nerd.
Yeah, I was. Oh, I was.
You were at the dance with Maria. It's okay.
I'm missing something there.
With Maria. She was a character.
There's a female character.
I think all of these like giant nerd factor moments are canceling out the orgasms.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But isn't a nerd-related orgasm just like two times the nerd?
I don't know. I don't know the math on that one.
We're in the negative. We're in the negative right now.
It uses imaginary numbers. I'm not sure what's going on. All right. I will continue the Castlevania conversation because my final game is Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse. The final NES Castlevania game and the reason that I'm still obsessed with the franchise. It was the game I couldn't put down in the first game that had multiple characters that you could control. And after playing through it the first time, just kind of the traditional way and never really swapping characters unless you absolutely had to, I became obsessed with playing through it with every character and taking every path. And to the point where there's actually a home video of me. It was soon after we had moved into our new house, so my dad and my sister were just filming random things throughout the house. I think it was a new camera too. And you could see that I basically run through the shot about every 20 minutes because I was on a time limit that weekend that I could only play for 15 minutes at a time. And so I would be up in my room, and then you would – and then while they're filming something else, see me run out, and you'll see me, like, just bike ride, just do laps around our cul-de-sac on my bike until 5 minutes were up, and then I would run back inside and start playing again.
What?
And then
– Look, Mom, I'm going outside.
Yeah. And then the other side of it was – I had played the game so much, I tended to have the habit, you know, you get sick of the music, so I sort of would put on my own music. So the rest of the video is my sister comes in and interviews me to ask me what I'm playing, what I'm doing, and why I'm so stupid. And there's I'm playing Castlevania 3 while listening to, like, endless loops of Weird Al Yankovic CDs. And it's just I wonder if we still have that home video, but it's very it just stands out in my head that I couldn't put the game down, but I also wasn't allowed to play it for extended amounts of time at that point. And like I said, that series is the namesake of the site, and that's where my obsession kind of took hold. And you know, I wouldn't call Castlevania 3 my favorite Castlevania by any means, but it was definitely the one that I spent the most time with and could never stop thinking about. So
is that the one with Alucard and?
Yeah, it was actually the introduction of Alucard. At Alucard, Sophia, what's her name, the kind of wizard lady, and then I really liked the pirate guy, Grant Dynasty. He would he could climb on the walls and climb upside down, and he wouldn't have been afraid of that inverted castle because he could climb on the walls, never with no respect to gravity whatsoever.
Fuck gravity.
Fuck gravity, indeed.
That's what I say.
All right, that's going to wrap up our first Just 5 More Minutes conversation. I can't really tell if we're longing for those days or kind of feel sorry for ourselves for the amount of time that we spent with some of those games, but definitely some fond memories and some memories to kind of worry about as well. Kind of running along here, so we're going to wrap this up real quick. Nothing really big to talk about as far as HorribleNight.com updates, but we do have some big Horrible Night brainstorming sessions coming up as we're kind of defining the future of this site. So you should see some changes around here in the near future related to that. We're pretty excited about that. And let's get out of here with game industry shout-outs, starting with Ethan.
I posted a news story today about Tuesday. Anyway, I posted a story about a modding group that was actually converting the game Stalker over to the CryEngine from Crysis, and I just gotta say, I continue to be impressed with the modding communities, and I'm so happy to be a PC gamer. It's just some of the games coming out that some of these groups are doing that they don't have a whole lot of funding to do them are amazing, and actually kind of put a lot of pressure on the actual game developers to really come out with top-notch stuff. So I'm it's cool, and this thing looks awesome, and check out that news story. So if you like Stalker at all, this will be a great improvement on the old game.
Yeah, it's like the mods are always the side of PC games that I envy, and would be the one thing that would bring me back if it ever took off into something some ridiculous project. Cole, your story.
Well, we've bitched about Kotaku's news updates, their story updates on their site, and now they finally just put the nail in the coffin. All the Gawker Media sites redesigned, and they're complete shit right now. So stop going to their site. It's basically, I told Justin yesterday, it's unnavigable. So sorry, see ya, Kotaku.
Like all those Gawker sites caused me considerable amount of pain earlier in the week, and we didn't need another reason to not go back to that site. Christina?
I have a quote to share with you kids. We've had an interesting day talking about the female gamer and the shit that they have to put up with when playing on games like Call of Duty. And all the trash talking. And I was talking to my friend about this, and she said that you know, even at those moments when I'm pushed to my angriest and I start screaming back at these people, she says, I've not really gone over to the dark side. She said, my dark side has cookies and her dark side has chlamydia.
Wow.
I don't think I can post that on site.
So there you go. I had to share that.
Well,
awfulness.
Food for thought. Thank you for that. Gifford.
I get a shout out to Zoom, which is the Motorola slate that's coming out.
Is that accurate? Does it have
five O's?
No, I'm just excited about it.
Okay.
Wait, no. Hang on, let me look. Yeah, we have had five O's. So, but anyway, I'm really excited about it, particularly because I, as everybody knows, I'm.
Do you hate Apple?
Yeah, I dislike it a little bit. And I'm a big fan of Motorola's products. I have a Droid. The Razr was a great phone. And both of them put up with a lot of abuse. And anyway, I think they're designed well. So if I was going to buy a slate, the Zoom is where I would go. But, as I'm talking shit to one of my buddies, who's a fan job, I thought I'd get a chuckle out of that one. He pointed out a link to something on Engadget, I think, talking about the Zoom, and it's supposed to have disabled Wi-Fi until you sign up for at least a month of the data plan with Verizon. Yeah, and you can obviously you can unsign up as soon as the month is over. And then the price point set at $800, which is, I believe, above the top iPad. And I'm kind of going, really, guys, $800? Like, I can buy a pretty sweet laptop for $800.
Yep, I have one of those.
I'm disappointed in that, and I hope it changes before they release it, because I was really looking forward to it.
It's the first kind of major contender. It'll get better, but I think just as the original Android phones had an uphill battle, once the iPhone took a foothold, the tablets are going to be the same way, but the competition it'll be there eventually. Final story. I got to stick with Bulletstorm just because I love it so damn much, but Fox News finally got wind of Bulletstorm and put out their article of called Asking the Question, is Bulletstorm the worst video game in the world? And they proceeded to, you know, analyze the game, which you knew was going to happen. But the thing that stood out to me was they were saying that this could really damage the 9-year-old kids that play games like this, was one of the actual quotes. And, you know, Epic released all their stuff about, you know, this is an adult game marketed for adults. You're crazy, basically. But just that. I don't know. Fox News offers all the free publicity, and I think the consumers are smarter than the reporters reporting on this, but I just got a kick out of – I was just kind of waiting for Fox News to kind of catch wind of this game, and wait till they get a load of Duke Nukem Forever. So it'll be a fun couple months with Fox News.
You know, we had a with the M&M commercials during the Super Bowl, we were talking about that. I was down at my parents' house, and somebody said something about M&M, and – I remembered something he said, which was when asked about how vulgar he is in his CDs and exposing children to it, he was like, wait, you let your kids listen to my music? I don't let my daughter listen to it. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
which I think totally applies to Fox News and their review of Bulletstorm.
Absolutely. All right. Making strong political statements about orgasms. That's what we do here today.
I like orgasms.
I think that's well documented thanks to this episode. Oh, we're going to get out of here. The Horrible Show will be back next Wednesday. We thank you for listening and putting up with our craziness and our story time today. But we will see you next week. And everybody, thanks for joining me. Later.